and 12 bucks for it.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Hello and welcome to the Draft Doctors, talking all things fantasy footy draft. I'm Doss, and on the show this week, we'll be discussing everything we noticed from round 6 in the AFL. We're going to look at the best options from your waiver wires, give you an alternative captain option for next round, and we'll reveal our trade of the week. We've got listener questions from Twitter and the Facebook later on as well. No Statesman or Cam this week. It's just the big three on deck. And of course, leading the way, ready to stand out with the limited crew available, it's the Tom Hickey of the Draft Doctors, Stevie Fears. G'day, Steve.
I'm speechless.
You went big, mate. You're ready for a big day out.
Well, no, that's great. And you know, g'day listeners and welcome to everyone and glad to see you. I actually really enjoyed the footy this week. I thought, I don't know what's changed, but maybe I'm getting the bigger person, but really enjoyed the footy this week and pretty excited. But I just want to give a big shout out. I know we've got a lot of great listeners out there, but I want to give a big shout out to our mate Stu out at Chally. Big fan of the show, doesn't know a goddamn thing about fantasy footy, but I know he's a big fan of the show and he's always tuning in. So Stewie, g'day mate, hope you're doing well. Get back to work. Why the hell are you listening to a podcast?
Good on you, Stu. And here as well, it's a man who's reached breaking point. He was cited this week tagging Luke Beveridge in a tweet, some absolutely rancid behaviour. It's Jono.
G'day, listeners. Yeah, it's funny what stouts do to you on a Saturday night, on a cold Melbourne night. I didn't realise I did that until this morning. There was a few notifications that I was tagging Luke Beveridge and telling him how to coach. But, hey, he must have read it because in the second half, Norton did go in defence.
Good on you, Jono. Community Service Award. On to our Round 6 review, looking at everything we noticed from all the games this week, starting with the Wednesday night Richmond-Melbourne clash at the MCG. What did you notice there, Jono?
Can I just bump in there? Jono, what were the bogs like after your stout night?
They look exactly like the stout going in and coming out, exactly the same.
That's not good.
It's not. Oh, it's better than the blue Hawaiis that I had one time when I was in Hawaii. I had about 10 of them, and yes, imagine that. Smurf poo.
Get around it.
But what I noticed, the Tigers and the D's, look, we know Melbourne is in all sorts of turmoil, so Simon Goodwin, he shuffled the board around, and Tommy Mack actually went in defence and was playing on handsome Tom Lynch. Look, we thought it was all about the key forwards and the forwards when you're playing Melbourne, but it was not to be, with the defenders actually doing pretty well on the Richmond forwards, unless your name's Jack Riewoldt, and was doing pretty well before his PCL injury. But as I said, Simon Goodwin did switch the magnet, so where we thought key forwards were doing the scoring, it was actually the Richmond defenders who got the massive bump, where we saw, God, we say it, Nick Loston scored massive, Bashir Hooley, Brandon Ellis, these guys, the ball was just getting kicked straight to them and they were just rebounding out of defensive 50. So maybe that's something we can look to next week with Melbourne, but it's just something certainly to keep an eye on. Other than that, it was just pretty clinical by Richmond. Their pressure was awesome.
Did you find it strange? It was, I think they made, you know, you think if you come into sort of a big clash, a season defining clash, you really want to, you want to come in with a few changes, but not change anything super, super dramatically that's going to really change what you've been doing all season. It seemed like there was about 5 different changes. Obviously, Tom McDonald, you probably thought he needed to go back a little while ago, but like, I think they had Michael Hibbard like running with Dusty. There was just a few little changes around the place that you're like, why are you doing so many at once when you need to win this game to like keep any chance of staying alive, sort of thing. Did you find that strange at all?
Well, Hibbard was actually doing a pretty good job on Dusty. Kept him quiet for most of the game. The one thing that Melbourne's lacking is a key forward. I wonder where they could have got one of them from. Maybe Fremantle? I don't know. But they had Tim Smith and they were mid to talls, but not that big bull like a Jesse Hogan sitting in that forward line. And we know Proust is out injured, so there is someone who Melbourne could actually use with Steve, and he was the original goat.
The original goat. the OG GOAT.
Now, for the new listeners out there, the OG GOAT is the man. It was about two and a half years ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
There was Jesse Hogan, Tommy McDonald, Maxie Gorn, all out injured. There was one man in the VFL. It was Cam Peterson. He stood up and just went full ham for about 8 weeks. We've had him on the show. We love Cam the GOAT Peterson. So that's what Melbourne needs. He's got a little restaurant in Phillip Island. Maybe we can get him out of retirement.
We need to get him back on the show.
We do.
He was fucking awesome. Like, honestly.
They need him. They need him. Cam, we need you, man.
They do.
The better Cam. We need that Cam.
Oh,
the
better
show.
Cam. Oh, yeah.
All right, the Anzac Day Clash delivered the goods this year and also some pretty big scores. What did you notice in that one, Steve?
I can't believe they gave those free kicks to Essendon that resulted in goals. That was bullshit. But anyway, it was a bit of a Pendles masterclass. And a couple of things I did notice in all seriousness, and I had this thought going into the game, Will Hoskin-Elliott is really interesting to me as a forward pickup. We know he's struggling with the forwards a bit this year. Stream ability is down. Key forwards are just absolute pus. So he has missed a lot of the preseason, all the early games. So he is an interesting player to me because we know he's pretty athletic, can push up to the wings. We expect Collingwood to be a winning team. There's a little bit of something there. On the Essendon side, I thought Joey Danaher looked great. He's probably going to be on a lot of waiver wires. The thing that really excites me is we've seen the forwards who are doing well are the ones who can lead out to wings. We know Joe Danaher is super, super athletic, can run all day. I know he's battled OP and all that sort of thing in the preseason, but if he's able to run like that and pick up second ruck duties with like some McKernan and so forth out of the team, I think he's actually a pretty interesting pickup. He did kick the four goals, which boosted his score, I think, a little bit superfluously, but if he can pick up eight marks a game and maybe pick up five hitouts here and there, I think he's going to be super valuable, and he's certainly floating around a lot of waiver wires. And to me, he presents more opportunity than... I know Tex Walker scored really well this week, but maybe Joe Danaher might be a better option than one of those key forwards like Tex. And also on Essendon, and I think it's really interesting because we look at a player like Darcy Parrish and we've sort of expected him to go to the next level from a fantasy perspective. But I think Essendon players who aren't like Zach Merritt and Dylan Scheel are going to be tough owns, especially for Dream Team formats. The way they play is just... And McGrath falls into that basket as well, sorry. I know he's getting midfield time and he's a defender, but now he's in the midfield mix. If they're not the contested ball guys in the middle, they're on the wing, and Essendon don't really chip and kick and all that sort of thing to boost the fantasy scores. Like, they are just blowing through the midfield. That is how they want to play. They want to play super fast. So unless they're controlling the game with a big win, I'm kind of cagey about playing those peripheral mids who aren't Scheel and Merritt and probably Heppel as well, to get them a good score. Like, I'm just a bit cagey about the way they play. Like, to me, it's more the forwards and the backs. That's where they're trying to lock the ball. Like, they might be a very good super coach team because they're all high-impact players. So that might just be something to look at. And Devin Smith, I'm really worried, man. Like, he missed the week before. Obviously sat for a lot of this game, had a lot of time off the field, and we know he's had knee issues previously. If I've drafted Devin Smith at the lunch meet, I might be packing a salad sandwich.
Yeah, I think, well, that was the whole knock on him last year, I think, and why maybe some people missed out on drafting him and getting the value that he actually did provide last year. But this year, the injury concerns and I suppose the role as well, potentially with the less ball available in the midfield, is, yeah, you're seriously worried. Is there any, we know Cam's injury report comes out on a Monday. He'll be back writing that this week. But was there any sort of thing on that? I didn't get to see this one, so.
Oh, I don't really read Cam's horseshit. But it's more just, what do you do? Like, last year you got Devon at a value. You got him in round 6-7. This year you paid up. You had to pay up to get him in round 3. So that was where the issue is. I'm not sure how you rectify that. If you want to trade out and minimize your risk of him missing matches later in the season, or you want to hold firm and try build your depth elsewhere, I'm not sure how you do that, because forwards are, you know, it's hard to find a consistent forward. That's going to be the issue for owners.
All right, well, let's move on. It was a pretty rancid game in the Port North one, but despite the scoreline not actually reflecting a blowout, it really kind of was until late, and I checked that one out, so I'll just go through a few notes. And my first one I've got is Connor Rosie is a fucking weapon. He is an absolute jet. Now, I know he's not necessarily going to be played in a lot of lineups, but, man, when particularly in Supercoach, he is just actually putting up big numbers, similar to, not as big as Walsh due to the midfield role, but I mean, I put out a little tweet the other day and it was the top 10 picks that have been, the top 10 yeah. scores of the top 10 picks, and Rosie is in that top 10 elite category, and I think...
But it didn't count the pre-draft selections. Like, it didn't have Jager, like...
Yeah, true, but... I mean, are you denying the fact he's an absolute weapon?
What?
Weapon.
What movie are we in? Are we in Hot Rod here?
Whiskey. Anyway, I just like, he's already up in my top favourite players to watch, but I actually genuinely think, even in fantasy, he popped a, I think it was a 94. Like, he's one of these guys that you can actually match up play, and I don't necessarily, I mean, you obviously expect a tail off, but the way he plays up forward, I just, you're almost just awaiting for these scores to become consistent. I know you can't bank on a rookie, but I wouldn't be surprised if you can just have him on your bench and just play him when you think a nice matchup's coming, that he would pop you a pretty nice score. He's already pumped out a 120 this year. So just really like Connor Rosie, just especially for the future as well. But now the next one. I'm not quite ready to get my fingers into him yet, but with Todd Marshall in the side, it kind of seems like Westhoff is back to playing a bit of a greater role and a bit higher up the ground. So we saw, I'm not sure if Dixon is actually going to be able to get back this year. There's some reports indefinite. Around that.
What's that? Indefinite. He's been put on indefinite on the injury report.
So it's not sort of a wait and see now with Westhoff. Oh, it's going to come good at some point. I think we just have to really hope that Marshall or someone that can play that deep forward role just stays in the team. Because we saw Westhoff move up the ground. And, I mean, it is against a pretty poor outfit. But he put up a 95 and a 92. And that's obviously, we know he's going to, that's kind of what I think we predicted he'd be around with the less hitouts this year, down about, you know, 10-ish on his immense average last year. So I think just keep an eye on that. And I think you sort of, Jono, said last week, you're pretty keen to buy low, but hopefully that opportunity might still be there if somebody wants to dump him, but, you know, positive signs there. And contract year, Sammy Gray, absolute fire. The better Gray, as he said in the after-match thing to BT there. So he's killing it, and he has a nice role. I'm a bit sceptical it can go this well, but really, he did look fantastic. I mean, he kicked 4 goals in this one, so don't expect that every week. But it was pretty nice to see. Now, I got 2 other big points here.
No, we got to stop. We got to stop there, Doss, because I floated Sam Gray last week as a great pickup, because small forwards are just destroying North, and we know a few of the listeners got around that, and everyone was really happy. But you're right, he has actually got a nice role, because he will take a lot of centre bounces. Mm. He will kick goals. Robbie Gray seems to be the worst Gray. He is more of a foil than a target.
Robbie Gray's gone in for surgery, so he's going to be missing
well,
a few weeks.
That's probably a bit of a worry as well. But I think it's more of a North... just piss poor against small forwards.
Yeah.
So like, and I love Sam Gray. Like, he's fine.
Yeah. I honestly was more impressed with some of his stoppage work though as well around the ground, and it was like up forward at stoppages that he kicked a couple of his goals. It wasn't just like roaming free up forward and getting easy goals. But Yeah, I'll take that point into account.
You've got to take into account the opposition here.
Yeah.
I really, you know, and I like him. I think he's a great play from time to time. Yeah. Like, I mean, last week against West Coast, like, that's... But, I mean, are you going to do the same thing against Collingwood next week?
Yeah. We've seen some massive changes at Port, and I'm just wondering, you know, he's averaged over 80 or close to it before in the fantasy format a couple of years ago. I'm just wondering if this has revitalized Trav Boak to push his average up 40. I mean, could we expect maybe, you know, Sam Grazer forward to continue to average 80 that?
I'm just saying I'd be cagey about a Sam Crowe who you generally find chopping between the waiver wire and rostered on people's teams. Like, as someone who picked up Sam Gray last week, played him on field this week, I don't think I'd be playing him this week. Like, who are North playing this week? Like, Carlton?
Yep.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, I'm not exactly picking up Cam Paulson to replace him, but you see where I'm coming from.
All right, last point. Zeeble, he was in the middle to start with here. Now, we know Sean Higgins was out in this. Do you guys think this continues, considering he played all right and he still kicked a couple of goals, but he was playing midfield for a fair bit of the time there? What do you reckon there, Jono?
Well, I didn't see any of this game, but I saw Cunnington was on report. Will he get done or will that be a fine? So it all comes down to that, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's either one week or a fine. I watched this whole game. I actually thought it was a pretty... You know what's funny? Because I tweeted out that this was going to be like the shittest game of all time. But I actually found it a pretty good game to watch. So,
and Higgins, you'd imagine, would be back in as well, wouldn't he?
Mate, they've got to get fucking... Like, Trent... How is Trent Dumont playing? Like, honestly.
He's got pictures.
Yeah, I said he was going pretty well last week, but I hadn't really watched too much North, to be honest. Yeah, all right. I think we should probably move on before I go to my 18th point.
They should play Zeeble in a split more like this week, surely. He was so much more creative when he was in outside 50 than inside 50. Like, I look at their team, and to me it seems like it's a whole team of blokes who don't use the ball particularly well, and he was actually someone who could hit up targets.
I'm interested to see why you found it a good game to watch. So, like, I found Port really interesting to watch, but for North, I was kind of just everywhere. It was very disappointing all around the ground. I wouldn't have thought the one player I thought was really impressive was the Cam Zerha, which I thought he looked pretty awesome and pretty positive for North. But, like, I thought Port had complete control over the game the whole time, apart from the last quarter, like, where they just let it go. So.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And the thing I've been, like, we, before you and Cam came on board, we actually had, the way we ran the pod was we had six teams to look after each, and North Melbourne were a team I looked after, or watched, or studied, whatever you want to call it. And to me, they were always very well structured, and everyone knew their role, and they knew what they were doing, and they knew how they were playing. But this year, they did the same thing Port Adelaide did last year, and they brought in a whole wave of free agents. And to me, there's been a disconnect. Like, to me, North Melbourne kind of didn't look like they knew what they wanted to do. Like, they'd grab the ball, hold it up, go this way, go that way. And I think they kind of lacked a... I think they really lacked a game plan. Like, and I hate saying that because they obviously have one. I'm some jobber on the outside who's saying game plan, like I know what it fucking means. But it seems like they didn't have a plan from the outside. And especially going forward, like they missed Jared Waite. Like, they don't have anyone to clunk marks. So I think they've brought in too many guys, and it's probably going to cost them a slide down the ladder.
All right, well, let's move on to the next game, and it was the Q Clash, Jono. And this better be pretty much just 5 minutes, purely on my boy, the GOAT, Braden Fairy.
It won't even be lucky to be 50 seconds, because thank God Name a Game does not exist anymore, because scratch your eyes out, people, that's what it was like. Yeah, the only thing I really took out of it was Steph Martin was not taking centre bounces at the start of the game. It was down to Witts and McInerney, and... only Martin would take anything in defensive or forward 50s. But once Gold Coast got a bit of a run on in the second half of the first quarter, Martin was straight back in there and business as usual, because we did speak about Martin last week as a bit of a buy-low candidate. But he scored well. He scored 90s in both formats, so would have been a hell of a lot more, because he was actually beating Witts pretty soundly in the ruck there. Yeah, the Goderini, he could have scored more, but he can't kick a goal to save his life. He had two shots within about 30 seconds of each other, and exactly the same result, both behinds. But no, look, the Lions, they were looking to move the ball quickly. They did that for a period. They had a massive amount of inside 50s in that first quarter and a half, and then they put the brakes on. The Gold Coast Suns just made it a rolling maul of boredom, and eventually the Lions got up ahead, but yeah, it wasn't too much to take from this game. So look, Gold Coast are getting there, but they're probably a year or two away, and Brisbane Lions are going to run teams into the ground most weeks, you would think.
What did we notice without Harris Andrews? What was what you predicted last week come to fruition? Or
no, Josh Walker, he did play deep full back, but it was, I can't think of
his name. There was who said be careful of Josh Walker?
Don't know who that was.
Yeah, don't know.
No idea. I can't remember who the name of the defense. Gardner, I think it was Gardner. He got a bit of a bump. He was the one doing most of the work. And Dan Rich, he's good. I think someone else said on the show that he will outscore Witherden, maybe.
May have said that.
Yeah, Rich was everywhere. He's taking the kick-ins. They're getting the
ball. How's his ratio? 23 kicks to 2 handballs.
Well, that's the thing. He does the kick-ins, runs 50 metres, and then they dish him off the ball and he just kicks it long again to try and go inside 50. So they're looking to get that ball inside Rich's hand at every single stage. And McCluggage and Berry, these two guys are just growing in leaps and bounds, especially with Lachie Neal there. And Jared Lyons, apparently he's still
playing.
Oh, he
was back. Yeah, he was back.
Awesome. Did a couple of nice things.
All right, well, while Cam's not here, his Seb Ross support group does seem to have been pretty successful in providing the revival. But the Crows got over Alan Richardson and the lads on Saturday evening, Steve.
Yeah, they did. And just before we get on to that, can I just touch on North Melbourne? Because I know he's highly owned, but I picked up Sean Attlee in my home league this week for Supercoach. He's averaging like 97 over the last month. Sean Attlee, this is a forward.
Is this the guy who's always been expected to break out?
He had a fucking great role, though. Like, he was just around the pill, behind the ball. Like, it was a sweet, sweet role for someone who is listed as a forward. But on to Adelaide and St Kilda. What a shock. One thing you'll hear me talking about frequently is internal competition. The more people you have doing a similar thing, the harder it is to score well. Well, Wayne Miller, who's been a bit of a revelation down back for Adelaide, was out, of course. And we saw Rory Laird and Brody Smith both turn up in both Supercoach and Dream Team. And, of course, Alex Keith, who, Jono, I know you're a big fan of Alex Keith.
My boy.
Scored the 103 Dream Team and 99 Supercoach. Do you have any thoughts on Alex Keith? Because he looks just super.
Just playing the Tom Dodé sweeper role, just intercepting everything that comes inside that defensive 50.
So obviously have his ups and downs, but looks a solid pick from week to week. Defenders against the Crows continue to be a very usable option. We saw some big tons from Shane Savage and Josh Battle, if you don't mind. Usable games from basically every other defender, unless your name is Jimmy Webster, who... Guys, look, I haven't watched much of St Kilda this year, and I've been listening to the podcast, and no one said anything. I haven't been listening to the podcast, and I don't know if you've said anything. But Jimmy Webster's really playing lockdown role, and he's essentially unusable. Quite frankly, if I've drafted him, if I'm in a shallow league, he's already in the pool. If I'm in a deep league, yikes. I am praying for an injury which can happen. Like we had a lot of questions this week about Heath Shaw, and I said, look, Heath Shaw is probably benchable until there's an injury in defence, and lo and behold, Lachie Whitfield gets a corky, and Heath Shaw all of a sudden pulls a game out of his ass. And is usable, so it's always something to look at. What else is going on? If you're wondering why Tex had a good game, Tex Walker, it's because I dropped him during the middle of the week. That's why Tex Walker had a good game. So there's a lot to unpack. Obviously, Rowan Marshall was a bit of a laid out, so Riley O'Brien continued on his merry way of rucking towards greatness, but the Saints are just a funny team. I find them super hard to trust. If you didn't buy low on Seb Ross already, I feel like you've missed the boat. There's other guys you can probably buy low on, like Jack Steve and Jack Steele. Blake Akers, though.
Dan Hahn.
Jesus Christ, what the fuck is up with Dan Hahn?
Hey, we won't see him till after bye rounds.
You'd hate to see it. That's all I can say. Okay, can I just say, Cam? I just hate. Like, I like Cam Elsiorman, and good for him coming back from the knee injury. But Jesus Christ, he's killing fucking Brad Crouch, isn't he? Or is Brad Crouch's disposal?
Same with Hugh Greenwood.
Oh, I hate. Oh. Don't even
go
start
forward,
me on Hugh Greenwood.
Play lockdown forward, please.
If you're in a Supercoach league, you've got to be trading for Brad Crouch. Seriously, the guy hits 30 touches every week, but he's just hacking the pill, so.
What, you're saying get rid of him in Supercoach?
No, I'm saying trade for him because he's got a great role. He's getting a ton of the pill, but because he's not using the ball particularly well, he's not averaging what he is in Dream Team. If that can turn around, like good
is
times.
Is he traditionally been a good disposal?
No.
Five years ago when he was playing?
No, he hasn't. But he's always been a better Dream Team than Supercoach. But this year, it's at just extreme levels.
Matt Crouch, back up to 80% time on ground for you there, Cam. Just throw that in for you, buddy. All right, so the Battle of the Bridge wasn't a cracking game, but I noticed a few things from both the Sydney and GWS perspective there. So we saw Jake Lloyd probably cop his first tag of the year, and it was pretty heavy early, and then it really sort of loosened up after a bit there. But we saw Matt DeBoer go to him, start on him there. So I'm just wondering, particularly, he's done a good job on a number of, he's had a number of scouts this year, DeBoer, but I'd almost be considering every time you've got your number one captain option up against DeBoer now to start looking for your number two captain option, because he's done a job every time that he's gone to someone significant. I think he's pretty much shut them down or limited them in some capacity this year. So I'm just starting to look, if I think he's going to my number one, I might go to just my number two if he's coming on them. It was really evident the reliance that Sydney have on the Buddy Franklin for their forward entries. He was laid out, I think, in this one. And they just struggled to get anywhere going forward. And I just, you know, I think I'd be really worried. I don't think we thought they were going to be good this year, but you know, I think some scores could really start leaking through Sydney if they just can't do anything as they get worse and worse throughout the year. But we found Horse's new favourite bloke in the doghouse in this one, and it's actually Statesman's boy, Ryan Clark. So his time on ground is absolutely rancid this year. He's had about 50, I think he had 50% time on ground this one, and rightly so, he butchered the ball all over the place. But I think he's one to kind of watch throughout this year, because I think he'll slip to a few waivers, and I think I'd be looking to stash him if you got some spots, because if he does start to get time on ground, he's actually a good scorer, and this is why he was up on Statesman's keeper list, because when he does get time on ground, he does score, and with Horse, if he gets out of the doghouse somehow, he will pump you out some good scores later in the year, Steve.
The problem with Ryan Clark is he's shit ass.
No, he's not.
Have you
he's
seen? Right. Can I say? Have you seen the Swans list?
Have you seen Ryan Clark's scores for the year? I think 50's been his best score.
Have you seen the Swans list?
Have you seen the sort of ground stats for the year?
Have you seen the Swans list?
Yes, I have.
And what's up? They're somehow giving a jobber like Ryan Clark some game time. Look, I hate to bring it up, Doss. I hate to bring it up. One of my stashes from the preseason, Jordan Dawson, who no one gave a sniff of anything to, is going out there busting 90s, and you're talking about Ryan fucking Clark.
Because a lot of people have jumped on board the Dawson now. He's not available, mate. I'm looking at the people. 67% for the listeners that can go out there and find a little gem.
That's what happens when the big fizz man brings the fire in the preseason. I actually found the show where I did it, and I did do it. So, boom!
When was
Although
it?
Although Statesman actually said it was a good pick, so I thought he said it was a shit pick, so that was my bad.
Yeah, I said it back in the day too, but there's limited evidence to find that. So anyway, I'm still high on if he's floating around and you've got it. If you're shallow in your defense, I'd be holding him in a deep.
Why?
If you've got emergency spots,
why?
Because if he gets time on ground, he scores 58% time on ground, 45. He
but why does he get more time on ground? The guy's proven himself to be a jobber at two clubs. He can't really contest nut to save himself. He can't use the pill. Why does that scream, hold this bloke?
It doesn't. It screams punt if you've got a weak defence and you've got emergency slots. But it screams take a punt on him because he actually scores when he's
this
on
is
the
thing.
When he's on the field.
Like, because Ryan Clark's had a season where he averaged okay, you've punted, you've kept him over a guy like Blake Hardwick who can actually hold the ball. Like, to me, this is... I think Ryan Clark's a complete loser pick.
You're talking about a guy who got 92 last week in the fantasy format. And then
loser.
And then gets dumped for a 50% time on ground this week to
loser.
To only score 45.
Loser.
Right, take it up with the Statesman. It's his boy anyway.
Well, hey, I'll take it up with his coach and we'll see how that works out.
All right. Well, the final thing here is Adam Tomlinson. So he's actually playing a bit in the ruck this year and he's getting those 5 hitouts a game that's actually boosting his numbers up a bit there. So I thought he's only mid-only in Ultimate Footy, but he'll be gaining that defensive status, or not the ruck status, because he's playing as a defender that chops in the ruck. So he's actually averaging pretty well in both formats, and I think that bump for the hitouts is really nice. He looked really good in this game. I was pretty impressed with Adam Tomlinson.
I need Adam Tomlinson to get a position change in our
home league,
categories league.
Yeah,
because he does everything.
Yeah, he's good. I was very impressed with how he went about it in this game. He looked awesome. And
no wonder
St
Kilda are after him.
Yeah. All right. Well, it was all things Bailey in the Dogs Frio game, Jono. But not the Bailey we might have expected, with my boy Bailey Smith lighting it up.
Yeah, honestly, this game was a bit of a haze for me because I had about 7 beers before I started on the stout. So, Dave Mundy, 300. Congratulations on an awesome 300 games, Dave Mundy. I noticed Michael Walters, he was on the ball but got nothing. He got absolutely nowhere near it. He didn't score well, even though he was in the guts most of the night. The ball was going to Fife, Mundy, and Brad Hill. Yeah, Bailey, I got to say, I will give you props. Doss, Bailey Smith was probably the only Bulldogs midfielder to show any sort of interest in this game because McCrae, Bontempelli, Libba, they were all absent. Reflective in their scores, it was just junk time scores that they got basically in the last quarter. So, Bevo, yeah, you might need to roll the dice a little bit. Steve, you were saying before we were recording that McCrae was actually kicked out of that midfield last week and you saw his scores drop a little bit and worrying signs. But, you know, Bailey Williams did actually only have 8 touches in the VFL this week, Doss, so we won't see him next week. He might even go back to the VFL Resis, which... That's no good.
He'll be back. Better than ever.
Again, the Doggies wasteful in front of goal, looking for that tall target. Gow was horribly out of form, but that is due to Frio's back 6. They are in absolute stellar form. They're really gelling well together. We saw Joel Hamling do a job on Aaron Norton before he went back in defence. And I haven't seen a lot of Frio, so maybe you guys can add on to this, but I noticed Nathan Wilson was taking all the kick-ins, and his scores have started to bump up again. So if he's floating around, maybe do a deal with him for him if you can get him. But he was taking all the kick-ins, and they were getting the ball in his hands, and it looked like that freed up Luke Ryan as well, who's gone back to being that interceptor rebounder, and his scores have been pretty good as well the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that was something I floated in the preseason that Nathan Wilson could take over because he has got a little bit more juice in the wheels than Luke Ryan, if we're being fair.
Well, with that rude haircut that Luke Ryan's got, Jesus Christ. What's it with the peroxide haircuts coming back in? We saw Guelphy on Anzac Day. And
Guelphy played pretty well on Anzac Day. God damn, it's a rude lid.
It is, it is. Yeah, so I'm not too sure what the Dogs are going to do with their forward pressure because they had Lewis Young and Tom Boyd playing in the ruck in the Footscray VFL this weekend. So, and Shacky played but didn't do too much. So not too sure what's going to go on there for the Bulldogs forward line because they certainly need Trengove down in defence.
What do you think about Libba, Jono? He obviously started the season like a house on fire. Tailed off a fraction in recent weeks. What are you doing if you're a Libba owner?
Hopefully he gets one good score and then look to flip him because I think he's getting tired. We know he's missed with the ACLs and started off with a house on fire, but just probably going to start tiring until he gets to the bye rounds. But if he can pump out a big score this week against the Tigers, then maybe look to flip him and make it someone else's problem.
And pretty good signs as well for Fremantle with Connor Blakely as well. So people who drafted him, they're probably going to be rewarded pretty soon with him playing in the Waffle on the weekend, grabbing 20 disposals. So if you grabbed him, he's hopefully either back next week or maybe the week after, or you know how long they give him. But getting 20 disposals, I don't know how long he played in that game. So positive signs. Now, Steve assigned himself the game of the round here with the heart-thumping Hawthorn-Carlton game down at UTAS Stadium. What did you notice there, Steve?
I noticed it was really hard to watch the match because I had this giant erection in front of my face after Matty Cruz's first half, just fucking pumping loads into the ceiling. It was just great times. And then the second half happened and all those loads fell on my head and bad times for Matty Cruz owners. But Interesting you mentioned it, Doss, because Liam Shields came back into the team and actually mentioned on the pod, I think, last week. I said, I know he's owned in a lot of leagues, but please pick up Liam Shields, and just dropped a 145 and 132 burger in the Supercoach, if you don't mind. And you have to say it impacted the Goedison, Ricky Henderson, to drop one of his worst scores of the season with the 73-62. And this is the thing I sort of preach about internal competition, whether it's across your half back line or through the midfield or whatever. And I sort of thought Liam Shields is a great shout at the start of the year. Obviously, he got injured early, but there's not a great deal of depth through the Hawthorn midfield. And Liam Shields is a proven scorer across the years. So their midfield is thinner than ever. So Liam Shields, naturally being a proven scorer in a thinner midfield, should score better. Obviously, that's going to impact other players, whether it's Henderson. Walpole actually played a fantastic second half when Hawthorn got back in the game. His first half was really lackluster. Cousins, you know, the guy's probably getting tired, and fair enough. A lot's being asked of these two young gentlemen, despite the fact they've had a few pre-seasons. So I'm a little bit concerned about them going forward, but I'm really bullish if you were able to jag Liam Shields. I'm sure he's floating around a few waiver wires as we speak. But it was a fantastic game to watch. What a comeback. On the Carlton side of the ball, obviously Harry McKay is just going strength to strength, putting in fantastic performances. But the talking point is going to be between Nick Newman and Cade Simpson. I'm a Cade Simpson owner in my home league, drafted him in the third round. You'd have to say it's time to pick up Dale Thomas. Like, the guy was fantastic today, I thought anyway, and played a hell of a game, obviously turned up in both formats. But there is going to be a stack of pill going around there. Maybe you pick up, as a speculative, Ararat's finest son, Tom Williamson, who is finally off the injury report. Maybe you go for Lachie Plowman, who had 24 touches today. But there is certainly going to be a hell of a lot of pill off the Carlton halfback line available if those two gentlemen are to miss matches.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on Cam's injury report when that comes out on Monday. Also noticed here, now what was I going to say there, Steve? I cannot remember. Gibbons. Gibbons was one we flagged last week, and that sort of came through like Jono thought. More of a salary cap thing. He went back to a pretty crummy role there, did he, Steve? I didn't get to catch this one.
I just think it's going to be hard to own those sort of guys who aren't playing a contested role or they're playing a decent role in a good team. I don't think Carlton, they should have won this game maybe, but I don't think we'd put them in the top eight.
Yeah.
I don't think Gibbons is a guy to own. Even Paddy Dow, would you say Paddy Dow is better than Michael Gibbons? I would think so.
Yes, I would.
Look at Mark Murphy today. He had 84 Dream Team and 39 Supercoach.
Yeah, that's what I was actually going to say. That's why I went mental blank.
91% time on ground, too.
I own Mark Murphy. This is the thing. I just say, the biggest thing in fantasy football is variance. And the bigger your league and the more on-field players you have, the greater variance you have. I play in a league. Coming in today, I had three players versus four. I was fucking home and host. I was laughing all the way to the bank. I own Cade Simpson and Mark Murphy, who pumped out 80 between them. And all of a sudden, I'm shitting bricks. Jono, at the end of Saturday's afternoon game, should be dead and buried. His opponent has three late outs and somehow snags the W. You know what I mean? Variance is such a bitch. The good teams will get to the finals and the luckiest team will win sometimes, all right?
Pretty much.
Right. Well, it was my job to check out the West Coast Geelong game, and it was a sad sight seeing my Weagles get absolutely spanked by Geelong, but there was a couple of things I took out of it, and it was that West Coast are poo at the moment, but there's light at the end of the tunnel because
Can I just tell one story about variance just quickly? Because I think it's been on my mind a little bit. Sorry, Doss. I just to tell the people.
Go ahead.
I play in a very, very super, super competitive NFL fantasy league. All guys from all over the world, we're all super, super keen on it. There's 12 of us. It's a 12-team league. This last season, I finished with the third most total points, right? After the regular season, you think, fucking great season. Third most total points. Top six make finals. I didn't make the finals. Guess what? Not only did I not make the finals, I finished dead last. Third most total points, and I finished dead last in a 12-team league. That's variance, man. Those things happen, all right? It's and it sucks. You just happen to when you score really high, you might score the second most points for the round. You play the team who scores the most points for the round. An old mate who scores the third lowest points for the round plays the team who scores the lowest points for the round. Those things just happen, and it's part of the game, and it's variance. And eventually, if you play long enough, theoretically, it should all even out. But unfortunately, fantasy football, that is the way the motherfucker is.
Yeah. I mean, look at... This is just one that just stands out to me that's just out of nowhere. How the hell could you predict Trav Boak? He's never averaged 100 in his career, and now it's 120. And it looks like it's going to continue. What the hell?
If you said Travis Boak was going to average 100, that's awesome. But the guy in his best seasons has never done it. Me, that's the hard part. And congrats if you drafted him because you thought he was going to have a good year, because all the signs were there that he was going to have a good year. But this good? He's a cap. The guy in our league, Jono, you'll know this, the guy in our league who drafted Travis Boak traded out Nat Fyfe because he's I've got my captain option. It's Travis Boak.
That is epic.
But traded in Dusty,
And Max Gawn.
And Max
Gawn. No, traded in Max Gawn.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. All right, well, I'll get on to the Geelong West Coast game, the last one of the round. And my point here in saying that West Coast are poo and have been playing poo, my big thing that I'm saying is buy low on all the Eagles pretty much, so particularly the Eagles forwards. So it's going to be an ultra-low buy as well, and you might even see a couple flash across the free agency pool. But they've got Gold Coast and Saints in the next 2 weeks, and I genuinely think now's the best time to grab them if you're ever going to do it. I mean, they have just... Look, it was another terrible week from Jack Darling, 27 fantasy, 22 super coach, and I mean, it's been ugly to watch, but I think if you're ever going to respond, it's against Gold Coast and St Kilda. And I think their forwards, even like Jamie Cripps, could be an option. Obviously, you sort of already flew Josh Kennedy. I mean, he only had 58 and 65 Supercoach. I think in this sort of this is now your time to buy these guys. And if they are floating on your wire, just bring them in for the next few weeks. Even someone like Elliot Yeo, he only got... Well, for Supercoach, he got 116, but for in fantasy, he only got the 101, which, like, if somebody drafted him as a premium, they might still be a bit pissed and you might actually be able to buy him pretty low still. I think he will respond and average pretty well from here. So, anyway, just buy low on all the Eagles is my tip heading forward. All right, still to come, we have our waiver wire pickups, trade of the week, and a captain risky for round 7, as well as some listener questions. But first, are we getting closer to the 200 iTunes ratings we need to get Cam doing a shoey on the live stream, Jono?
Unfortunately not. There was nothing this week. I guess the listeners don't want to see Cam on camera at all doing a shoey. Maybe if he's got a bottle of Pinot, that would be better.
Oh.
Then we just get him really drunk. Drunk Cam is actually pretty funny.
I think we got up to 168 on the ratings, because we are just going off the ratings due to Steve's hackiness, so we're just making sure we get the right numbers this time.
How's that book coming along, by the way?
Yeah, how is the book coming?
I forgot this week. I got to get on it. I'm running out of time.
I'm just going to go take a piss.
We've got some... we do have some... A lot of Twitter feedback coming in. Where's the book? How's the book coming along? So we need a report there, Dossie.
We'll have to. Well, while Steve's taking a piss, do you want to get onto the waiver wire pickups, Jono? So we're using the rule of under 65% ownership on Ultimate Footy, and remembering that for shallower leagues, there's likely some better options available. And always just keep checking who people are dropping every week as well. So, Jono, what are your waiver pickups for this week?
Well, it's good while Steve's not here, because my number one pickup is Sam Gray. He is 65% ownership. Bang on the limit there. Doss, look, Port Adelaide are playing Collingwood this week, and some might say that it's not a good matchup, but actually small forwards are doing pretty well against Collingwood, so they don't really have that matchup against the smaller forwards like we saw Tippin Woody. I know Fantasia was out on Anzac Day, but Tippin Woody, he'll get a run through the midfield, like we've seen Sam Gray get a run through that midfield, so I'm pretty happy with picking up him this week. I didn't see the North game, but it appears that Cunnington was on report. By all reports, it's either 1 week or a fine. But Jed Godison, he is in 64% of team. For the new listeners out there, Jed Godison is in fact Jed Anderson. So he scored nicely with Higgins out there. Just I got the memo. It's all good. Lucky Plowman, Steve mentioned him before. He's in 34% of team steel. I did use him as a late week pickup this week, so he is someone who is rosterable, especially in the Supercoach formats, especially with him and Liam Jones picking off those intercept marks coming inside 50. Another Supercoach one who's really low ownership is Harry Taylor, 27% ownership.
Shocking. Shocking, isn't it, Jono?
I thought he was going to be high. I just had a quick look then, and 27%.
He's been good for Supercoach.
Yeah,
it's been great.
He is a Supercoach pick, yeah, for sure. My boy, I said it last week, and I'm going to keep pumping up these numbers. That is Adam Sard for Supercoach, 45% ownership. Banged out a couple of 80s again this week. Not so much guys I'd be looking to spend a waiver wire pickup, but if they're floating around in your pool after the waivers have cleared, you've got Jordan Ridley from Essendon at 39%, probably more your dream team scorer than Supercoach. He's been doing some nice things. He's mid-70s to 80s. And if Buddy misses again, maybe a Sam Reed. You can look to pick him up this week at 36% ownership. And it wouldn't be the waiver wire pickups if I didn't go over that spectrum. We said Steve's boy, Dawson, he's at 67% ownership. And Alex Keith, still at 68% ownership as well. That's all I've got.
All right. Do you have any more there to add, Steve? We'll tell you if Jono's already done it.
No, I just think some of the Fremantle defenders like Nathan Wilson and that are a good shout this week against Adelaide, who have been dominating the midfield but really can't string it together going forward because of their hacking ways.
Okay. We'll just move on.
Yeah. So my pick is Josh Battle, owned by 29% at the moment. So his last month has been pretty solid. Against Freo, he popped a 79 and 74, so DT then Supercoach, and then 72, 59, not so great, 60, 71, and then this week he popped against Adelaide 100 and 110. So not sure if it's necessarily that sustainable, but might be worth a punt or even maybe just off the free agency list there as well. But not owned by many, and he's made the move from forward to defense this year and just taking a few intercept marks, so like him a little bit there. And then a couple guys coming back from injury that I'd be looking at from the free agency pool in the next sort of 2 to 3 weeks is Harry Perryman, the Statesman's boy, 22% ownership, a defender there. Steve shaking his head, but jump on board. Ryan Clark and Harry Perryman, just jump on board there, boys. And Willie Rioli, 14%. If JLT hype is real, then Willie's going to be averaging 100 this year. So I'd just be taking a punt. I mean, our forward line hasn't been too reliable. So maybe just pick him up because I think he will get a little bit of a chop through the midfield. I mean, they were playing a bit of Daniel Venables in there today, and he's been pretty useless. So I think maybe they'll give Willie Rioli a crack in there in the coming weeks when he returns from his injury. All right, so I think now it is time for the trade of the week, Steve.
Thank you. And it's not Dossie's Dilemmas. Jesus Christ, I had a heart attack there.
Jono, as I said in the tweet, if I wasn't so drunk, it wouldn't have made the air. It was, what can you say? Jono, can you talk us through what Dossie's Dilemmas was?
Just think drinking 5 stouts and then shitting that out. That's what that was.
Thanks, boys. You're lucky the segment... Actually, my segment, I have kind of made it through with the segment this week, but it is in the questions that are coming. So just wait and see. There is something on the cards for this week.
The people can't be about Dossie's Dilemmas. there's no way they can be about Dossie's Dilemmas.
All right, well, you're going to get to your trade of the week. Go on.
I don't know. Trade a few blokes out. That's probably a good time to trade a few blokes. No, I had something for this. Not much. Trade out some blokes.
Okay, on to Captain Risky. No. This is way better than Dossie's Dilemmas. You're right, Steve. Much better.
Look, I'm like a bottle and a half of red through this podcast.
Yeah, I'm back to the old days when we did this thing shit-faced.
I'd trade in Dale Thomas if Simpson and that are going to miss any time. But I'd probably be looking to trade out. I don't usually do trade outs because it's not sexy. Because not everyone owns everyone. But I'd be looking to trade out Rory Lobb. Okay, so he's listed as a forward and a ruck, which some people think being listed as a ruck is valuable, but it's not. Being listed as a forward is the most valuable. But he's just played the Bulldogs, who were the shittest ruck team in the league. He's averaging a rosterable amount in most leagues. And he's about to come up against the Crows and the Tigers. Like, they're not fantastic, but surely Fremantle will want to get Sean Darcy in there at some point. Like, I'm a little bit about things. So I think Rory Lobb's a pretty good guy to trade out.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see if they keep going with it, especially seeing as they're actually winning games, whether or not they just persist without Sean Darcy in there or not.
Well, that's the interesting thing. You know, I'm a little bit questionable about how they roll with things. Actually, the guy I think is interesting in terms of trading out is Lachie Whitfield. I'm not saying I'm doing it because I'm a Lachie Whitfield owner, but I'm just like, what could you get for him? Because it seems like you could get the world for him.
I think he's worth the world, though. I mean, 39 this week, but you should have seen. Did you watch the game? He was just limping, like he could not move.
Look, I
know it's not based on one week. I think he is just, he's going to average you. What's he going to average? Like 110 or 108?
No, I don't think he is. I think he's going to average closer to 100, maybe 105. And I think this is where people maybe lose perspective, Doss, is that 5 weeks is a small sample size. Mm. Like if I started my home league with a draft of Jackson McRae and Lachie Whitfield, and wow, it seems like the world's amazing. But those things aren't going to continue. Like, let's be realistic. We've seen people average that over a month before, and we've seen good players average 85 over a month before in seasons of 110. So yeah. If we're realistic about things, we should consider the options. And this is where salary cap is the great fallacy, is because you'll get to round 14 and people will be going, oh, you have to trade in the top six forwards. Well, the top six forwards from round 14 going to be the top six forwards from round 23? Of course they're not. That's ludicrous. Why would you consider that? So let's think a little bit bigger.
Can I ask a... can I ask a one for one what you'd take here? It's a bit off topic, but who says no, Jack McRae for Josh Kelly right now? Rest of season.
Well, I'm not sure either one says no. Well, I'm not sure either one says yes. Like, I find it hard to believe that you drafted either of those players and you're agreeing to the other player, because ownership accounts for so much more. Like, if you're the owner of a player, you might think, oh, I'm putting out this great offer for a trade deal. Oh, the other owner won't do it. What a crazy thing. Like, we were talking before the show. I offered Pendlebury, Jared Harbrow, and Rory Lobb for Andrew Gaff, and it got knocked back. Now, to me, that seems like a no-brainer. It seems like you should, if you're the Andrew Gaff owner, you should 100% take that. Like, right? We'd all agree?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay. But that owner didn't want to take it.
What was the offer?
Rory Lobb, Scott Pendlebury, and Jared Harbrow. And keep in mind, this is 2 weeks ago before Jared Harbrow had his 40 game.
In Supercoach
for Andrew Gaff. Right.
And I went to the same person with O'Meara and Harris Andrews before the injury.
Okay, wow.
For Gaff.
And was knocked out.
And that doesn't matter, like, right? If that person doesn't want to do that deal, that's fine.
Mm.
And that's fine. And, like, they might hurt their team long-term, but that's good for you long-term because that's a person less who you have to worry about theoretically, but you're theoretically not improving your team. But you don't know that.
All right, on to Captain Risky, which is a captain option outside the standard big dogs. Who could get the job done this week if you're a lucky owner? Who have you got there, Jono?
Thanks for putting this on. I don't think I had Captain Risky, did I? I didn't see that in this.
Was it on the show doc?
I didn't see that on the show doc.
Did you look at the show doc?
I did. Yeah. Sam Ross, Captain Risky.
Boom. Love it.
They give up the midfield points, GWS as well. And especially with Cogs and Kelly and Whitfield, all big question marks this week. Seb Ross, put this big C on him.
I never thought the show would fall apart this much without Cam. So, well, if you do want more captain options, check out the Draft Doctors website to find the Statesman Skippers article. You can also get Cam's injury report, a dozen deals by Sam Porter, and Jono's late week pickups. That's all on the Draft Doctors website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. So we're going to get on to some questions from social media. And there's a few.
I had a question, Doss. Doss, yeah. Are you moving house?
I am, yes.
What sort of situation are you moving into? Are you moving in with your missus?
I am, yes.
Multiple missuses?
Just the one?
I didn't even know that. I just heard he was moving out of his share house, so I was like, oh, you're moving in with your missus, aren't you? In my head.
You're talking to Mrs. Doss. Mother Doss.
I don't know who Mrs. Doss is.
Mother Doss.
And if anyone does need a room, the cheapest room in Adelaide, get in contact.
Actually, cheap in Adelaide, need a move.
Nah, Adelaide's fucked.
Well, technically at the moment, yeah.
Actually, because Dossie, I'm going to need a room because the family's not coming over because, actually, as you know, I'm the poorest man in fantasy football. When I come over to Adelaide, I'm going to need a place to crash for a couple nights. So, Dossie.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Does Mrs. Doss cook and clean and provide everything else the hotel provides?
Roosties. Just a couch is fine.
All right, the first question comes from The Hansard. How can we live in a
Doss
world...
Is fucking moving in with his missus. Jono, it seems like he has so much going on for him.
Look at him. He's the Adelaide Bachelor and it's all downhill from now.
Look at his hair. Why would you settle down?
How can we live in a world where Tom Hickey is one of the scorers for the round? And then somebody responds, I can't live in that world.
He starts continuing on with the show as normal.
Sounds like it.
Jesus, what the fuck? What's going on?
What's about Tom Hickey?
Who?
Now I know what it feels like when the team gangs up on Cam.
It's a pack right, mentality in this show.
Doss, hey, Doss, when you tuck your dick and your balls between your legs, how's that fruit bowl feel?
I think we'll skip the questions and we'll wrap it up there.
Doss. What a great host. What were the questions? How does Tom Hickey something?
I can't find the question that was actually the real question you wanted to ask. It was
I'm on the pod. Aside at asking from a keeper league perspective, this is from @bagels4. Asking from a keeper league perspective, which players are you the guys the hottest on who haven't played a game yet or maybe have only played a handful of games? Everyone in my league is playing for second place this year, so I'm looking for a sleeper. Tom Williamson. Bagels.
Bailey Smith. Ben Cavara.
Tom Williamson. Ararat's finest. Bagels.
Bailey Smith. He's only played one game this year. Look for him in your pool. Did I say Bailey Williams? Bailey Smith. Both of them.
I got a few here. Is he looking to stash these guys or play them? Yep. Like,
sounds like a stash.
Stash? All right, I got a couple. I got the real ones here. All right, a trio from Freo. Brett Bewley, Luke Valenti, and Tom North. And then you got Hamish Brayshaw, the second Brayshaw brother that's playing in West Coast. He just got the top possession getter for the Waffle side. And with how they went on the weekend, you'd expect maybe he gets a crack at some point. Eli Smith from Brisbane, Riley Collier-Dawkins from Richmond. And yeah, I think that's what I'll go with. And then if you're looking for a little potential one, Riley West, son of Scott, or Oscar Brownless, son of Billy. Maybe give those guys a crack. But I think those Freo guys, Brett Bewley, Luke Valenti, and Tom North are the real chances to get a gig.
And Buku pretty Kamis. Soon.
Sorry?
I like his name. Buku Kamis, because I like his name. He plays for Footscray.
That's a good name. What about Red OG Murphy?
I know. Oh, when are we going to see these guys?
It's a fucking great name, isn't it? Oh, man, I'm a big fan of the Indianapolis Colts, and the draft was just on. And there's a guy, the Colts drafted a guy called Rock Ya-Sin.
Yes. Yes.
Is that guy going straight to the Hall of Fame or what?
Just draft all guys with awesome names. That's all you got to do. Just pick them all up.
All right, thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors podcast. Follow us on Twitter.
What are you doing? There's like heaps of questions, Doss.
Where? Okay,
I'll ask him, all right?
Take over, Steve. Doss is having a
bit of focus. Jesus, I'm a bottle and a half of red. Maybe more.
Oh, yeah, we do have a few.
At Kip Huffman asks, are we concerned that Goderini gets the Hutchings tag next week?
No.
Oh, wow.
Have you seen Goderini use the ball?
Yeah, he's not getting tagged.
He's not getting tagged. at Cox, has the 666 and other rule changes improved your football experience this year? I'm struggling with the unpredictability and unfortunately tag is still rampant, contrary to what a lot of experts thought.
We're not seeing the 100 plus scores that Steve Hocking in the Brains Trust predicted, so no, because a lot of it's just 84 to 83 and it's quite boring. I like shootouts.
I think we all like a shootout, Jono. AJS Hawker asks, which team is it good Yo Stream forwards against? North Melbourne.
And we thought Melbourne, but that seemed to switch roles over the weekend.
And I'm not sure it's great to stream Keys, but maybe look for the guys who are playing a mid-forward role.
Yep.
What do we see in the Brisbane game with Gold Coast solid to use key forwards against again?
No, the key forwards were pathetic against Gold Coast.
No, I'm really...
Mitch Robinson types.
You've got to be a lead-up forward rather than a key forward, if that makes sense. I know they're tall, but... Joey D, I know he's a key forward, but he can lead up. Sort of like a Travis Cloak from back in the day, I guess.
Franklin.
Just quickly, Steve, we forgot to mention Louis Taylor and Tommy Cutts got the call up, and Louis Taylor outscoring him in both formats, just quietly.
Why the fuck would you play Tommy Cutts? He's just a lizard midfielder.
You suggested it.
No, I didn't. I would never suggest playing Tommy Cutts unless he was listed as a defender or a forward. It's just we love Tommy Cutts. Look at this dude. He's ripped. He's that's an attractive man, John Doss.
Hutto kept calling him Jared Berry, Tommy Cutts. Had him on the brain all call on the weekend.
How can you take your eyes off an attractive man like that?
He's got the guns out, that's for sure. Had the oil, baby oil, just popping.
This is at least the worst podcast we've ever done. at Patton G asks, Libert to Merritt. I mean, I think if you can trade Libert to Merritt,
sure.
Good for you. At John JH147, I assume you're a snooker fan, John, 147. Neil Robertson, going for the world title at the minute. Get behind Neil Robertson. HK Doss is more concentrating on making Braden Fiorini videos than writing a book for Baby Fizz. If he doesn't write the book for Baby Fizz by the end of May, what kind of punishment should Doss get, Steve?
This guy's constantly stitching with a female. Up. It'll happen. I'll get it done. I know my deadlines.
Doss, with the podcast this bad, how could you not get it done?
It is pretty bad. It is pretty bad.
Look, Doss, I will give you this offer. The reason I'm going to Adelaide at the end of May, at the start of this year, I want to say New Year's resolution was... to run a marathon this year, right? To run a marathon. And at the start of the year, I could barely run 2Ks without hauling my guts out. In Adelaide, it's 20 weeks. The whole plan is to run a half. If you don't write the book, you have to run the half with me.
Ooh.
How much is a half? A marathon?
21Ks.
Oh, my God.
Get training, Doss. I just get training. Forget the book and just
start. Doss is a footy player. He should be fine.
21, though. That's a lot of Ks.
I've run 20 Ks in a training run. It's not that bad.
Not that bad. Be like...
I'll say maybe. Hey.
Nah,
what day is it on?
Nah, it's on a Sunday. Because I'm staying at your house on a Saturday.
I'm available
night.
Too, bugger.
That's going to be an interesting show when two guys can't move and just...
Well, I'm not going to do the pod. Fuck that.
Challenge accepted. Doss will do it.
SC Junkie, thoughts on Heath Shaw finally.
Wait,
had good
are you doing that,
week,
Doss? Are you welching on the
confident.
Book? Are you welching on the bet to run a half marathon?
No, I'll get the book done. Don't worry. I've got a few ideas.
But you have to support me on the half, though.
Support you? Like, cheer from the sidelines?
Well, yeah. It finishes at the Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, all right, I can meet you there.
Yeah, all right, sweet. We'll buy you dinner. Come on, you and your missus will buy you dinner.
It's a deal.
All right.
Is it time to drop Bailey Williams? Sorry, Doss, from George.
I'd hold the West Coast Bailey Williams, but I'd drop the Western Bulldogs for Bailey Williams.
I dropped him last week for Jordan Dawson, actually, in one of my leagues. So, it's sad times, Bailey Williams family.
That's an honest question. What would you do with Bailey Williams? Because he was someone we sort of looked as a speculative draft pick, and you probably drafted him in the around 15 plus ranges.
Well,
sometimes it's hard to cut those guys. Do you just have to cut bait?
I think if it's a single season, I don't think anyone's going to snap him up and ruin your season. Like, I think in a single season you don't worry about it, but in a keeper, I'm definitely holding, obviously. For me, anyway, because I'm still super high on him for this year, but I think, you know, if he's in the doghouse, and like you said, he's only got 9 touches on the weekend, he might still be a fair way away. And if that role is not fantasy friendly, then he might just be staying in the doghouse. So
the problem for me is, even if you're in a keeper league, if I looked at the Bulldogs midfield, I don't see where he fits in, because they're all young.
Yeah, in a keeper league, you wouldn't be looking at the Dogs midfield. If you know what I'm saying.
No. But I mean, if I'm a Bailey Williams, say I've drafted Bailey Williams and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm keen and I'm sort of holding on to hope. To me, there's no hope.
Yeah, I think he's a good player. I just maybe don't think the Dogs, like, I'd still be, I think if he gets he'll score well.
Do you need to just drop him, cut bait, and maybe if you like him, hope he changes clubs in the off season and redraft?
I just can't bring myself to do it. If he does get the role this year, like in a keeper league, I'd still be holding. But you'd have to have
also, he won't get role? Midfield time.
What role? Like, the midfield's stacked. Unless someone gets... This is what I told people. I'm like, people were asking during the week, oh, what should I do with Heath Shaw? I'm like, he's going to be shit unless someone gets injured. Lo and behold, Lockie Whitfield gets injured during the match. Heath Shaw score was well. Like, I look at the Western Bulldogs midfield, I don't see who's getting injured. They've got a stacked half back line. Like, where does he fit in?
Yeah, but what...
Unless someone gets injured.
What's to say that Bevo's not just going to roll the dice? And he changes things week to week. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he does just change things up. So, still holding hope. I'm still holding hope with Bales.
How many keepers are you holding on to each year? If you're holding on to 30 keepers each year, maybe fine, but
that's fair. What, like, how what's the level? I don't know, who cares?
12. Yes, if you're in a 12 team 12 keeper league, surely you're not keeping him.
Nah, I'm not. Is that you just wanted to get it, you just wanted to make me say it, didn't you?
I do, but I don't, because I think you're the person we're helping here, Doss. Because I look at my own, like, no, and this isn't funny. Like, this is a strategy thing. Like, I looked at my own redraft team last week, right? And I had Taylor Walker, JJK, Tommy McDonald, and I was like, and I look at those guys and I think they're really good players, right? And they are. And they've previously been pretty good fantasy scorers. But I had to make a hard decision. I'm like, fuck these guys. They're not scoring jack shit. Key forwards aren't scoring jack shit. So I cut Tommy Mack, who obviously had a role change and scored well, and Taylor Walker, who obviously played St Kilda, found a way to score well. Cut him. Just got rid of him. Said, that's it. That's the line. Picked up Sean Attlee. Picked up Sam Gray. Yes, it all worked out. They scored well. But I made a strategic decision to say, you know what, key forwards aren't my way forward streaming. I said, that's enough, man. That's enough. I'm going to live and die by this mistake. If that works out for me, good for me. If that doesn't work out for me, that's fine. But there's this thing called the sunken cost fallacy, where you can fail and you go, I've invested this in it, right? I've invested X amount of chips in, say, Dustin Martin last year. and I'm going down with the ship. I won't take any offer. But people will come to you with offers, and they'll offer you good things for someone who's on the downside because they'll think it's good value. But it won't be. So you really need to weigh the decision. Do you go down with the ship, or do you try to trade your way out of it? And look, there's a flip side to it, saying that, you know, you're buying at a low price, but the sunken cost fallacy is a real thing. That's all I'm saying. I think
I'm going down with the ship, Steve.
Well,
going down the ship's already sunk on this show.
I don't think you spent much on the ship. I think it was like an empty can of Campbell's soup.
Chunky?
Tom Campbell soup.
Tom Campbell
soup. Am I allowed to wrap up the show yet?
Yeah, you can.
And thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors podcast. We'll see you next week.